The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essa
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, $700,000 sanitation and drainage project for Greater Accra. Youth in employment encouraged to prepare towards pension. Nigerian troops due in Mali. And Algerian security forces consolidate position around oil installation with kidnapped hostages. There's the summary by Doreen Ampofu.
President John Mahama has cut the sod for a major sanitation and drainage project for the Accra metropolis. The project, estimated at about $700,000, will include the dredging of the Odo Basin and the Kole Lagoon to improve sanitation challenges in the capital. President John Mahama called for attitudinal change in solving the unwarranted sanitation menace. The General Secretary of the National Pensions Regulatory Authority, Edward Ameyibo, has asked the youth in the public sector to have interest in life after work and put things right while working. This, he said, will ensure easy life during pension. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Ameyibo called for a mechanism to be put in place to ensure that issues relating to pension reflect in the standard of living. And Algerian troops have encircled a gas facility in the east of the country where about 20 foreign workers are being held hostage by Islamist militants.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news in detail. The sod has been cut for takeoff of a major sanitation and drainage project for the Accra metropolis. The project will, among other things, focus on the dredging of the Odo Basin and the Kole Lagoon to improve sanitation challenges facing the capital. The drainage project is estimated at about $700,000. President John Mahama, who cut the sod, called for attitudinal change in solving the unwarranted sanitation menace. Pascalina Darivo reports.
It is feared that Ghana as a country may not meet the Millennium Development Goal 7 on sanitation by 2015. Drains and gutters are choked with refuse, largely blamed on human behavior. Mid last year, President John Mahama in his policy statement outlined government resolve to take the issue of sanitation head on. He tasked the local government ministry to come out with a blueprint setting out modalities to curb the menace. This saw the best of the National Sanitation Task Force deployed across the country and equipped with state-of-the-art working tools. The Accra Sanitation Sewer and Stormwater Drainage Alleviation Project was started by Dr. Kwame Nkrumah but stalled along the line. Since then, subsequent governments have tried, but it is the NDC government that is working to execute the project, which is expected to bring to an end issues of flooding, heaps of rubbish around the metropolis, and contamination of the country. Lagoon streams and rivers. The famous Lavender Hill will also be a scene of the past. Chief Executive of the AMA, Alfred Okovandapoy, explores the benefits that the project offers the country.
Overall, the project aims at drastically improving Accra's road protection and wastewater treatment, providing management opportunities of all surface water, runoff and sewer in the Accra area and beyond, advancing Accra's ecology and tourism. To reach this, the implementing partners will upgrade the sewer and drainage infrastructure primarily within the Odo Basin, including the distorting, dredging, new substation ponds, and the removal of refuse from priority drains and lagoons.
President John Mahama called for a revolution in the behavior of people with regards to the disposal of refuse. He stated that his government is committed to ensuring that the project is efficiently carried out.
Accra particularly is faced with the major thrust of the challenge we face in sanitation, and that is because it is the capital city of this country and is the city that has the largest recipient of rural urban migration that we think. And so this intervention is going to apply the latest engineering solution to resolve the challenges of sanitation and sewage in Accra using cutting edge US technology. When this project is finished, we all have a role to play. The gutters and the drains are not garbage containers. Dump your garbage where you have to dump it so that it can be collected. And so let us all spread the awareness about this and let us be good citizens of Accra. We will have a city that we will be proud of.
The Accra Sanitation Sewer and Stormwater Drainage Alleviation Project will be piloted in Accra and subsequently replicated in all regional capitals.
Pascaline Adadevo reporting.
Lack of political will in the implementation and enforcement of sanitation policies have been identified as a major bane in achieving the Millennium Development Goals by 2015. Though government continues to spend billions of cedis every year, no significant success has been chalked up due to the ineffective coordination and supervision of policies by local authorities. A director of the Institute for Environment and Sanitation Studies at the University of Ghana, Legon, Professor Chris Gordon, said this during a presentation at the ongoing 64th New Year School in Accra. He also stressed the need to redesign suitable training and research programs in the country's universities. A report by Yaya Kwama and Mary Atule.
The director of the Institute of Environment and Sanitation Studies of the University of Ghana, Professor Chris Gordon, said despite teachings of both the Quran and the Bible on the need for followers to keep their surroundings tidy, Philip has engulfed in cities and towns. This he attributed to a number of factors, including education and lack of political will in the enforcement of sanitation bylaws. He said the country loses billions of cedis annually due to sanitary conditions. Professor Gordon suggested a radical redesigning of development-oriented programs in the country's universities if the MDGs on the sanitation sector is to be achieved.
That report was filed by Yaya Kwama and Mary Atule.
President Mahama has assured members of the creative industry of better welfare under his administration. He stated that the industry is a major job creation avenue and discovery of talents, hence it needs special attention. The president was interacting with members of the creative industry when they called on him at the Class Ubosu to congratulate him on his feat. Selassie Ibrahim is the spokesperson for the group.
I know that it's your heart cry that we all come under one umbrella, so it will be easier for you to attend to us. And I can see it coming from this very regime that is going to work. We are also asking that Jehovah God will grant you the wisdom and the strength to guard this nation, that we all feel that this is the nation we all belong to. And we pray for peace and protection for you.
President Mahama was grateful to the creative industry for their show of solidarity over the period. He urged the various groups to come under one body for easy dialogue with government and also to ensure adequate utilization of budgetary allocations. President Mahama stated his decision to move the creative industry from the Chieftaincy Ministry to another ministry.
We're going to work with you to improve the creative industry because of the potential it has for contributing to the economic growth of the economy. That's one. And then two, for creating jobs for young people. And so on the basis of that, government is prepared to work together with you to be able to move the creative industries forward. One of the major constraints I raised in Kumasi was the fact that because of the splintered nature of your associations, it was very difficult to deal with so many groups. And so we're encouraging that you had an umbrella group that would be the focal group for, you know, passing any assistance or any collaboration between yourself and government. The next point is we currently are appointing ministers and realigning the ministries. We have decided to move the creative industries from Chieftaincy and put it in another ministry that will dynamize it in a much effective way than we have seen under Chieftaincy.
President John Mahama interacting with members of the creative industry at the Kasu Usu.
Now, the fate of the NDC's application to be joined to a petition challenging the election of President John Dramani Mahama will be determined on Tuesday, January 22. At yesterday's hearing, lead counsel for the applicant, Chatichi Kata, moved the motion where he argued out why the NDC must necessarily be joined to the petition as respondent. Counsel for the petitioners who are opposed to the application, Philip Addison, rejected the arguments put forward by the applicant and urged the court to dismiss it. After listening to the arguments from the opposing parties, President of the court, Justice Atikuba, fixed the 22nd of this month for ruling. Here is a report by Bubu Klinogu.
Before the start of proceedings, a member of the Supreme Court panel, Justice James Doche, prayed the court to make some personal observations. He remarked that it has been suggested on some media platforms that he, Justice Doche, has in time past, during his private legal practice, held an executive position in the NPP in the voter regime. He denied such allegations, stating categorically that he has never been a member of the NPP anywhere in the country and that he is prepared to recuse himself if any of the parties raise any legal objections to his sitting. Thereafter, lead counsel for the NDC, Chachichikata, prayed the court to direct counsel for petitioners to withdraw their earlier objection to the composition of the panel in open court, but the petitioners challenged this position, arguing that they had never raised any objection to the composition of the panel in open and there is therefore nothing to withdraw. Counsel said a letter they wrote to the Registrar of the Supreme Court was enough. The court, however, held the view that though the petitioners discussed the nature of the objection in camera, it was brought to the attention of the open court and there was therefore the need for them to withdraw it openly. The petitioners subsequently obliged and withdrew their objection, paving the way for the applicant to move its application for rejoinder. Mr. Chikata argued that it is necessary for the NDC to join the petition because it has a direct interest in the outcome of the case. He said the NDC as a party nominated and selected John Mahama as its candidate and hence sponsored his election. Furthermore, the name and symbol of the NDC appeared on the ballot paper against President Mahama's name and photograph, an indication of the close association between the two. He added that the president is also in the process of forming a government of the NDC. Mr. Chikata made references to authorities to support his arguments, citing Ekwom versus Pinim, Montero versus Redco, as well as Chikata versus the Republic. For his part, counsel for the petitioners, Philip Addison, dismissed Mr. Chikata's argument. He said the NDC is not a necessary party to the petition and its presence will not add any value to the effectual determination of the case. He held the view that the NDC's intention to join the petition is without merit and in bad faith, a ploy meant only to delay the adjudication of the substantive case. Mr. Addison said the law requires respondents to electoral petitions be a citizen whose election is being defeated under EC, and nowhere does the law make mention of a political party. He dismissed the argument that President Mahama is forming a government of NDC, insisting that whichever government he is forming is for all Ghanaians. He also argued that the authorities quoted by Mr. Chikata have no relevance to the current case. He therefore prayed the court to dismiss the application. On the issue of respondents, Mr. Chikata said the law states that they shall include the candidates under EC, but the word include is not a term of exclusion, and therefore it can never be defined to exclude the NDC. He therefore prayed the court to grant its application.
A report by Bubu Klinogu.
After the proceedings, Radio Ghana spoke to the General Secretary of the NDC, Johnson Esiedun Ketia, who is the applicant representing the NDC. He said comments by lead counsel for petitioners that President Mahama is not a president for only NDC, but for all Ghanaians, is a clear legitimization of his presidency. He also praised the legal team of the NDC for a good show.
Appropriately described as the Chachibania Day. From how you get paid to the commission, you will see that it is like a professor and a student. And the most important statement is not only the president of NDP, but the president of the Republic of Ghana. And I thought that if he knew this, then he wouldn't waste people's time in the court. Because the whole petition is about challenging the legitimacy of the president. So if you have only come here to admit that indeed President Mahama is the president of the Republic of Ghana, then I will respectfully submit that he's in the wrong place.
General Secretary of NDC Johnson Esiedun Ketia. Spokesperson for the legal team of the petitioners, Gloria Kufu, declined to comment on the day's proceedings, but her counterpart from the NDC, Nana Todazi, restated the NDC's position.
The lawyer for two sides argued briefly the applicants that for NDC, they indicate that as far as they are concerned, they are a necessary party to this action. They have substantial interest. They sponsored President J.D. Mahama, and under our constitutional philosophy, multipartyism is the base is, or, so you cannot kind of take the party out of the politics. The respondents to the agenda with the LGBT side argue vigorously, various times took various objections to the arguments of the NDC, but nevertheless, the arguments were taken on board, and the panel eventually took all the arguments for more than 2 hours or so, and decided that the case must be adjourned to the 22nd of January for the ruling to be made. The issue of the NDC is very simple, and that was what was articulated in court. But basically, the argument is that they sponsored candidate J.D. Mahama under the constitution of this country. They are lawfully registered party. They are constitutionally mandated to sponsor candidates to all public offices down to the district assembly, district assembly and beyond, become a sponsor. So to that extent, they have a right, and I'm saying that they are the vehicle that collated and represented the views of 5.something million Ghanaians. So to that extent, President Mahama is not an individual. He is representing the votes of 5.something million people. To that extent, having sponsored him, they are a political party to this action.
You heard Nana Todazi, a member of the NDC legal team.
Meanwhile, the police engaged a group of NDC supporters to what could be described as a tough confrontation outside the court's premises while proceedings were ongoing. Tear gas was fired in an attempt to prevent the supporters from standing close to the court's premises, George Asekere reports.
The group, known as the Untouchable Task Force of the NDC, came from Ashaman, Madina and Nima to give moral support to their party in the legal field. According to them, their absence in the court premises when the case was first moved created the impression that President Mahama indeed did not win the election, especially when NPP supporters were in the court premises. They sang pro-Mahama songs outside the court until they spotted a group of NPP supporters on the opposite side of the road where the NDC had earlier been forced to leave. The NDC supporters demanded that the police remove the NPP supporters, which the police ignored. The NDC supporters therefore decided to move back to that side of the road, and this ignited the confrontation. The police used all their operational means until sanity was restored.
People came around. So they came to our side, and we told them that they should go to their side, because if we are one side and they are also one side, it will not be any confusion between us. Then this is that a policeman also rise to us.
The Public Relations Office of the Greater Accra Regional Police Command, DSP Fremantiti, told Radio Ghana that the police action was aimed at ensuring peace.
A few people just wanted to test the pulse of the police. We were able to ward them off. They were just making noise, and we can all then have onlookers or spectators. They were warded off. We were able to calm them, but those who were insisting on carrying on to their threats and other things, we have to quickly attend them.
The allegations that you chasing
them. Well, tear gas, usage of tear gas is part of our security, our tools, and part of our security arrangement. So if we use tear gas, that wouldn't be something new.
Meanwhile, the NDC supporters have vowed to go to the court premises anytime the case is heard.
George Asekere reporting.
The New Patriotic Party is asking President Mahama and the leadership of the NDC to call their supporters to order and bring to book those who are determined to use such supporters as instruments of political violence. In a statement signed by the NPP's Deputy Communications Director, Sami Uku, the party says very disturbing and violent events occurred at the vicinity of the Supreme Court yesterday, leading to attacks on ordinary Ghanaians walking along the high street. It says among the victims were hawkers, a pregnant woman, and a teenage girl walking on the other side of the road who just happened to be wearing an NPP scarf. The statement adds that if it was not for the intervention of some of the police officers, the teenager would have been severely beaten up. Also attacked was Nana Kofi Damwa, a young NPP activist who was assaulted with sticks by a group of NDC supporters right at the entrance of the court. It says it is obvious that what happened was an orchestrated attack by NDC on innocent people perceived to be supporters or sympathizers of the New Patriotic Party. It adds that these unprovoked acts of violence and intimidation are provocative and disturbing, as nothing was said or done by the innocent Ghanaians to fall victim to such violence. The party therefore wishes to send a strong message to President Mahama and the entire leadership of the NDC that what happened was unacceptable and calls for the offenders to be dealt with accordingly. It commends the security agencies for saving the situation and urges them to continue to enforce their mandate of protecting lives and property.
The Commission of Inquiry into the Judgment, Debt and Other Related Matters has adjourned public sitting till Wednesday the 23rd of this month. This follows the inability of most departments to fully furnish the Commission with the required documents and reports. The representatives of the Ministry of Finance and the Controller and Accountant General, who appeared before the Commission, asked for more time to dig for documents and appear on the 13th of next month. This is the second appearance for both the Ministry of Finance and the Controller and Accountant General Department. At the last sitting, the Ministry of Finance tendered in the list of beneficiaries of the judgment debt and the amount of money to be paid. At that sitting, the Ministry disclosed that a total of 158.269 million Ghana cedis is still to be paid as judgment debt and compensation. Other documents on the payments from the Consolidated Fund to be presented were not available. The Chief Director of the Finance Ministry, Enoch Hemas Kobina, said the retrieval of the documents from the Public Records and Archives Association Department has not been easy. He asked for an extension of time. Just like his colleagues, the Controller and Accountant General's Department, represented by Richmond Osei Sabin Fusu, also pleaded for more time to present the required documents from 1992 to 2012. The department has so far presented documents covering 2008 and 2009. The Commissioner, Mr. Justice Yao Apau, explained to the media why most departments are having difficulties in retrieving the needed data. The Solicitor General also failed to appear before the Commission, and the Commissioner was not happy because letters inviting the heads of departments keep too long with their secretaries.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: $700,000 sanitation and drainage project for Greater Accra. Youth in employment encouraged to prepare towards pension. Nigerian troops due in Mali. And Algerian security forces consolidate position around oil installation with kidnapped hostages. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
Welcome back. The chair of the Editors Forum Ghana, Adjoye Boafare, has suggested that Ghanaian journalists be given mid-year career training to enable them to give off their best and also stay focused in their profession. Ms. Boafare was speaking at the monthly meeting of the Editors Forum Ghana in Accra. The meeting noted that standards in the profession have fallen at a time that media houses and practitioners keep increasing. The irony of the situation is that instead of improving and modernizing the present numbers, the profession has been thrown into the gutters. The situation, Ms. Yabuaferi observed, is getting out of hand. According to her, news is serious business and must not be turned into the sort of entertainment and commentary that some media houses subject it to. Ms. Yabuaferi said she has discussed the media career training for journalists with the executive director of the West Africa Media Foundation for West Africa, Professor Kwame Kakari, to assist in that direction.
The acting chief executive of the National Pensions Regulatory Authority, Sam P. Yali, says the authority has been established to build the pensions industry in the country to protect workers' interests. Speaking to Agatha Asamoah on Radio Ghana's current affairs program Behind the News, Mr. Yali said checks and balances have been put in place to ensure that all trustees appointed do their work diligently.
In a related development, the General Secretary of the National Pensioners Association, Edward Ameyibor, called for a mechanism to be put in place to ensure that issues relating to pension reflect in the standards of living. Mr. Ameyibor also cautioned the youth in the public sector to have interest in life after retirement and put things right while working.
The Greater Accra region has now commemorated its 2012 World AIDS Day. The day, which should have been marked on the first Friday of last December, was rescheduled due to the general elections. The AIDS Day focused on concerns about the prevalence of HIV cases, and discrimination was a major issue at the event. The acting Greater Accra Regional Minister Nila Yafute Agbu expressed worry about the prevalence and urged stakeholders to step up their fight against the menace.
In a bid to whip up interest in the study of French in senior high schools, for many people to be bilingual in the armed forces, a French competition has been organized by the Chief of the Defense Staff. The competition is also in response to the role that the French language plays in the operations of the armed forces. This was made known by an official from the Public Relations Directorate of the Ghana Armed Forces, Lieutenant Colonel Eric Agri-Kwashi. Roxanne Fiado has the details.
The Burma Hall venue for the competition was orderly arranged as participants sat for the examination. The examination was in written comprehension, lexis and structures, diction and comprehension, and oral presentation. As part of its efforts to strengthen French communication, the Ghana Armed Forces has established French education centers in most of its barracks. One at Burma Kam, the Udara Barracks in Kumasi, Takradis Apremdo Barracks, Tema has one, and a new one in Tamale. The armed forces in their outside operations come into contact with neighboring countries, most of which use French as their medium of communication. The army officials believe it is time to encourage many to take the language serious to break the communication barrier. According to the Public Relations Director, Lieutenant Colonel Eric Agri-Kwashi, the Chief of Defense Staff, Lieutenant General Peter Augustin Blay, is very passionate in encouraging more soldiers to be bilingual to help in their operations.
That was a report by Roxanne Fiado.
Now on the foreign front, about 200 Nigerian troops are due to arrive in Mali to help fight Islamist insurgents in the country's north. It is the first West African contingent to join France's anti-rebel operation launched in Mali last Friday. In all, 3,300 regional troops will be deployed in the conflict under a UN Security Council resolution. Chad has confirmed it will send 2,000 troops. Nigeria will lead the West African regional force. It has promised to send a total of 900 troops as well as fighter jets. Ghana, Benin, Niger, Senegal, Burkina Faso and Togo have also pledged to take part. Meanwhile, French and Malian forces have started the first major ground operation against the militants. Sources say street battles broke out between soldiers and rebels in the town of Diabali, 350 kilometers north of the capital Bamako yesterday.
Algerian troops have surrounded a gas facility in the east of the country where some 20 foreign workers are being held hostage by Islamist militants. The kidnappers killed a Briton and an Algerian after attacking and occupying the complex in Aminas yesterday. The captives include British, Japanese, US, French and Norwegian nationals. Algerian Interior Minister Daho Oud Kabila said the militants wanted to leave the country with the hostages, but he had refused to let them go. Mr. Kabila said the heavily armed terrorist group have attacked a bus carrying workers from Aminas, two other British nationals, a Norwegian, and two police officers. They were being held in one wing of the living quarters, which the security services and army had surrounded.
To end the news, the main points again. President John Mahama has cut the sword for a $700,000 sanitation and drainage project in Accra. The project will include the dredging of the Odo Basin and the Kwale Lagoon to improve sanitation challenges in the capital. The General Secretary of the National Pensions Regulatory Authority, Edward Ameyibor, has called for a mechanism to be put in place to ensure that issues relating to pension reflect in the standard of living. Speaking on Behind the News, Mr. Ameyibor asked the youth in the public sector to have interest in life after work and put things right after that. About 200 Nigerian troops are due to arrive in Mali to help fight Islamist insurgents in the country's north. It is the first West African contingent to join France's anti-rebel operation launched in Mali last Friday. And Algerian troops have encircled the gas facility in the east of the country, where about 20 foreign workers are being held hostage by Islamist militants. The news was presented by Doreen Ampofo
and Samuel Efa in Accra.